You're listening to NORPOD, a podcast brought to you by MideastOutreach.com and Arabs for Christ.
Hi everyone, so the site's been up and down, offline, online, broken, fixed. Okay, right now the website is looking pretty normal. I will be working on it when I get back to the States. Just let that sit in for a second. Yeah, I'm going back to the States for a little bit, having some legal problems here. So I'll be back in the States soon. I'll be going on a tour, speaking tour, and probably in Utah, Wyoming, California, Colorado, some other places too. Leave those as a surprise when they come. Okay, let's get this started. Let's see what's going on in the news.
Thousands of Muslims respond to the gospel in North America. Russian youth are searching for truth. And an animated film makes its debut in India at Easter. These stories and more straight ahead on today's edition of Mission Network News, a daily news service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm Greg Yoder. Terrorism in the last 7 days has killed more than 200 people in Iraq alone. Those responsible? Muslim fundamentalists. What's interesting is that God is working in the lives of Muslims. The Bridge International supported Ariel Edwardson, an evangelist from Norway, is sharing the gospel in Arabic through creative programming on the internet.
What really shocked me is that the great response come from Arabs in the United States and Canada. In the last few months, more than 30,000 Arabs living in North America have responded and are interested to be saved and interested in the gospel.
According to Edwardson, Arabs in the United States are ready for the gospel.
It's the right field. We can bring them the gospel, and the gospel make people peaceful. So I have been a little surprised that so few American great television evangelists I'm not focusing on these.
Edwardson believes many Muslims are tired of the violence and are looking for peace. They're finding it in Christ. Next, the Muslim population's growing in the Ukraine. Russian Ministry Sergei Rahuba says Joseph Stalin forced many Crimean Tatars, who are Muslim, out of Ukraine and into Siberia and other parts of the former Soviet Union. But they're returning.
Today, there is estimated over 250,000 Crimean Tatars have moved back to Crimea. And those villages and little towns are growing rapidly. They start building mosques.
Rahuba says the regional ministry center in Sevastopol recently held a conference to train national believers to take the gospel to Muslim people, especially Crimean Tatars.
This is an opportunity, and since they're more kind of secular or nominal Muslims, and easier to reach to their younger generation, and when young Christians are properly equipped for that, there are lots of fruit.
Funding is needed to do even more training, which could be a bridge deeper into the Muslim world. You're listening to Mission Network News. More than ever, Russian youth are ready to hear the gospel. They're searching for their Russian identity in a culture that's increasingly more materialistic and less spiritual. Eugene Bakhamutsky leads all youth ministry work in Russia with the help of the Slavic Gospel Association. Recently, they had an amazing evangelism experience in college dorms.
Every door which we knocked, every person we should talk to wanted to talk about Jesus Christ. And just because they lost hope in drugs, they lost hope in entertainment stuff, they just wanted something serious, something real.
Youth ministry's brand new in Russia, and while there is great prospect for sharing the gospel, there's a lack of trained youth pastors.
Because of opportunity so great, and many people really involved Bible teaching churches, we have more than 20,000 young people, but we have less than 500 really trained youth pastors.
Learn more at our website. Meanwhile, if you haven't heard of the Jesus film, you're one of only a handful of people in the world that hasn't seen the story of the life of Christ. According to the most recent statistics, the Jesus Film Project is just 26 languages away from the 1,000 translation mark. With 216 translations of the film in process, the ministry's close to hitting that milestone. Coupled with the audio version, more than 201 million people have indicated decisions for Christ. An animated version is currently in development. And finally, hundreds of millions of people in India will be able to see the Godman film this Easter. It's a new animated version of the Book of Hope, which will be aired on cable and in homes and churches Easter weekend. As many as 2 million children who see the film could also be given the Book of Hope. The Godman has already been formatted for 4 cultures and 14 languages. Pray that many come to know Christ's hope through this film. Mission Network News is a daily news service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Back to the Bible's making available Woodrow Kroll's book, Little People, Big God, stories of little superstars in the Bible that had a big impact in their world. It could teach you how to impact your world. Get your free copy at 1-800-995-4828 or go to our website at missionnetworknews.org. That's Little People, Big God at missionnetworknews.org. I'm Greg Yoder.
خليل، خليل يا ولدي، الكتاب الذي سوف تكتبه
إله المسلمين ولا إله النصارى؟ لو كنت إله المسلمين يا رب شيل كل حاجة من دماغي إلا الإسلام.
إذا بدك تشوف هذا الفيلم افتح christianmissiontroops.org. If you'd like to see that video, it's in Arabic, but it also has English subtitles. It's very excellent right now. It's on the website. Go to christianmissiontroops.org. Will be on the front page there. It's called Khalil's Dream. It's under Muslim Testimony. It's very excellent. I'd like to give you guys a little update about what's been going on here. Where's that cough button? Okay, in Eritrea. Okay, we got to first start out with article number one. An Eritrean Christian died in prison last week, 4.5 years after the Eritrean regime jailed him for worshiping in a banned Protestant church. Also, authorities have arrested the founder of the Full Gospel Church. This was on the 15th of February. A lot of people have been being arrested. Actually, it's about last year was estimated that 1 in 10 believers are arrested in prison right now. It's quite a bit, guys. Anyhow, I got this note also. This is from a friend of mine. I met a Christian refugee from Eritrea the other day. His boat was sinking in a storm on the ocean on his escape route. And he prayed to God over the promise he gave to Noah and that he would not kill off the people with a flood again. And then a rainbow appeared and stayed with them the whole time that they were in the water, 11 hours before they were rescued. Yeah, God's doing an amazing thing, but guys, please be praying for our brothers over there in Eritrea. They really need it. Things are not so easy for them. Alright, right next we have an interview from Mission Network News, MNN.org. I'd like to play that for you guys. Hope you guys enjoy it.
I'm talking with Carl Muller at Open Doors USA, and Carl, we're talking about Iran today, and boy, when you hear some of the things that are taking place with Ahmadinejad saying that they should, you know, wipe off the Israel from the face of the earth, and other things that, you know, USA is an evil empire, and the things that are taking place within the country, we still hear some positive things as it relates to the church. Talk to me about what's happening in Iran as it relates to the church.
Well, sure, Greg. I mean, obviously, with the news today of Iran continuing to push forward on its nuclear program and the increasing hostility against the rest of the Western world, including the U.S. and Israel, we'd all look for some light in the dark place, wouldn't we? I mean, and I would like to suggest that the light is coming from the fact that God's Spirit is moving in the underground believers there, the secret believers in Iran. And the church is growing there at a rate that, well, some describe it as truly phenomenal, like revival. One of our coworkers who just returned from Iran said that he was able to look at a communication from some of the Muslim leadership in Tehran to their friends and other Muslim leaders in the villages. And they said, we must stop the flood of Bibles coming into Iran, into our villages, because they're making Christians out of our villagers. And we're seeing the church grow in a way that we've never seen before in Iran.
Well, it's funny you say that. In just the last week, we received 2 emails from Christians in Iran asking us, please get me a Bible somehow. Is that something that you're getting from Open Doors as well, the request for Bibles, and are you able to fulfill those needs?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's one of the most phenomenal things to see in some of the places that our world and our news media tell us are the most closed. We see Christians using the internet, using the opportunities they have to reach out to the world, if anyone's listening, to get them the materials and the things that they need. We work in partnership with broadcast ministries that bring broadcasts of Christian message in Farsi into Iran. We work, of course, with Bible societies to deliver, and we can't talk about how, but we deliver a lot of Christian materials, resources, and Bibles into that country as well. You see, the church, when it grows, is hungry for food, just like your children. When they're hungry, they come, "Mom, give me something to eat. I'm really hungry." And what the believers in Iran are seeing is a Holy Spirit-led revival that is hungry for the Word of God, hungry for the teaching that they can get from Christian ministries in the West. And we're their lifeline. We're the ones helping provide that material for them where they live.
Do you think that that the predominant religion there, the radicals that are in power right now, are the minority, or would you say that they're the majority?
You know what we're hearing, and it's really interesting because, again, from our news media, you see Iran as a monolithic, radical state. Ahmadinejad saying that the Holocaust never happened, saying that, you know, Israel should be wiped off the mat, all these crazy things. But what we're also, from our coworkers, finding out is that on the ground, in the man on the street, in Tehran and all throughout the country, there's a deep dissatisfaction with Iran's position in the world, that how the world is seeing Iran now is not how they want to be seen. Most Americans know someone from an Iranian descent. They know that they're warm and wonderful people. The people of Iran are desperate for the reality that is found in Jesus Christ. They are open and they are willing. The question is, will we have the vision as a church to reach past the politics, past the rhetoric, into the hearts and lives of those in Iran? And we're seeing, when we do that, thousands come to Christ.
Talk to me about how we here in the West, or Christians hearing this throughout the world, can help Open Doors minister to these Christians that are underground. Can they purchase Bibles for them?
Well, the first thing they can do is pray. They can get informed on our website at Open Doors, and we can begin to give them the information they need to know to pray specifically. That's the number one thing the persecuted church in Iran is asking for us, is to remember them in prayer. But yes, then they can also deliver Bibles into Iran. We have a special project right now where we'll be able to provide those needed resources. We can't really describe how, but we can assure people that those Bibles will be in the hands of Iranian believers within a year of this message right now. They'll be able to get those Bibles all throughout this year. We're projects that are very difficult to describe. They're very difficult to carry out. But with our extensive history, with our background in what you might call God smuggling, we're able to provide those resources into the hands of Iranian believers. In the last 4 years, we were able to provide over 1 million Bibles to Iranian believers. And I can tell you this, that flood of Bibles, as the Iranian Muslim leadership has been calling it, is not going to stop, and it's not going to go away. And we're just asking Americans to get involved and to get part of that flood of Bibles.
What's the cost of something like that? If somebody, let's say, wanted to get their Sunday school involved, and, you know, if you give X number amount, you can buy a Bible.
Sure. Well, the remarkable thing is, because of the volume that we work with, we're able to print, deliver, and actually hand off to a believer for $4 a copy of God's Word. Just $4, a complete copy of the Scriptures in Farsi. And what's remarkable also is that these Bibles are hideable. They're not, you know, huge. They're small pocket Bibles, and they're able to be held onto by the Iranian believers. So this will be an extremely valuable resource for anyone in Iran.
And if people wanted to get involved, again, they go to your website, opendoorsusa.org?
Yeah, that's right. Opendoorsusa.org is where they can find out how to be involved in our prayer campaigns, get involved in the advocacy programs that we have, and become involved in the projects that really make a difference to deliver these types of resources to believers.
Perfect. Anything else?
You know, just thanks again for helping us get the word out. Iran is such a pivotal place in its history right now. And if we can muster Christian action in prayer and walk boldly in faith, I know that we can see regimes change and we can see nations change for the cause of Christ.
I'd share with you guys something that I think is really relevant to anyone that's feeling called to be a missionary. You'll be reading this.
All right.
In today's age of the all-American career, IRAs, retirement plans, a man may fear a lack of security in providing for his wife and children. Going to a new city could threaten that comfort zone. Of course, he could always have the option of to go back to the career world and make a secure salary, but he would sell his calling in the process. It takes a man of integrity to stand firm on his conviction that it might not be right that we should leave the service of the word in order to wait on tables. But then there's the risk that the people of God and other cities will forget about his material needs because, like Paul, he's out of sight, out of mind. That's not an irrational fear. It's what's the reality of men who traveled from city to city in the first century. Now you Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Philippians 4:15. It's a comfortable in a city where things have started to grow and prosper. There's a cost involved when you go to a new place to start a new thing, where you're not respected or loved or appreciated. Starting all over with carnal people in a new place is like going back into the ground zero. And before you know it, you're out of sight, out of mind, with the people you had just left. That was a first century pattern. That was Paul's experience when it came to support. The people didn't see so clearly what was of Christ, so they fought against it rather than supporting it, running with it because it wasn't entirely their vision. The people didn't participate with Paul's work in other cities, so the fear of material uncertainty was moving on to another city is one of the things that could quench the apostolic gift. Dragging your family around from place to place is not too attractive. Obvious ramifications of moving to a new city include starting a beginning of a new work God is doing. With that comes the need to pay the price all over again. Paul put it this way, we work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world, 1 Corinthians 4:12 through 13, and no one seems to appreciate it. For it seems to me that God has put us on display at the end of procession. Like men condemned to die in the arena, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men, 1 Corinthians 4:9. The fear of paying that price all over again can be terrifying. Persecution, the insults, the reproach, and all the fussing, carnality, and backbiting can be overwhelming. If the price seems too high, a man could squelch his calling by not taking the risks to do what God has called him to do. Another fear that might, if carried to an extreme, cause an apostolic man to bury his gift, the fear of running ahead before his time. The proper response, however, would be to proceed with caution and in faith. For example, Moses blew it by slaying the Egyptian and then had to flee to the desert. 40 years later, he was ready for the real thing. Perhaps he'd sensed the calling for God on his life, but he ran ahead of God's timing. Then there's Joseph, who was given a prophetic dream, which he enthusiastically shared with his brothers. Yet it was another 25 years before his vision was fulfilled. And Samuel, set apart for God's work while he was still in his mother's womb, had to grow up before he was released by God. Then God let none of his words fall to the ground. The word of God came to John the Baptizer in the 30th year, even though he had been trained by a priest and was devoted, fasting Nazarite, long before that time. God had his own timing that cannot be rushed. Even Jesus, who was sinless and who astounded the scholars by his time, he was 12. Did not receive utterance until his 30th year. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to declare deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptance year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say unto them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Luke 4:18-21. Finally, Paul was raised a Pharisee of Pharisees and extremely zealous for the Lord. He was set apart from birth, according to Galatians 1:15, yet was a grown man before he was called. Then after having seen the righteous one and receiving his commissions in Acts 9, it was several more years before he was actually sent in Acts 13. Clearly, to go before your time is to invite disaster, but lack of faith in God's timing can tempt men to bury their gift for fear that maybe they're not ready for this, and maybe they just need to rest and secure in their situation. Another fear that could paralyze men, if he walked by sight and not by faith, if the possibility that the church he was about to leave might not prosper or even survive. Paul was able to go on, knowing that Thessalonians might fail, or that Colossae might not make it if he didn't visit them sometime. That didn't hinder him from going on, but surely it had to enter his mind. What faith it takes to entrust men to God and the word of his grace. He poured out his life and heart for people, and then he had to leave them behind, knowing full well how much work was left to be done in their hearts. How could he leave when he saw so much more that needed to happen, let alone that God saw? What if it all just fell apart? What embarrassment it would be to him. What embarrassment to God. If the church that he was leaving didn't prosper, wouldn't it be a heartbreaking thing for the precious brothers and sisters involved? While confident that their salvation was secure, the apostolic man of God couldn't help but weep over the wasted potential in Christ as they slumped into nominal existence. But that scenario can never happen, not in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is neither here nor there. It's either within them now or it's nothing but an illusion all along. This is for real, though the particular local church might not stand as it once did. You can't destroy it by cutting it up. It's like an earthworm. See, the worm has 5 sets of hearts. When you cut it up, you don't get 1 dead worm in 5 pieces. You get 5 new worms. And so it is with the church. The foundation is laid in men's lives. You can't kill it by cutting it up. If something the Father has orchestrated, rather than of man's divisiveness and ambition, such as persecution of Acts 7-8, and they resulted in the spread of God's work, then even the difficult things will work together for good as they are born out of the love of Him and responsiveness of His purposes. Granted, there might possibly be, if the church ceases to exist, a tremendous loss of demonstration of the truths of the kingdom that can best be seen. You can become a model to the believers of Macedonia and Achaia. It is true, for the lack of vision, the people cast off restraint. They don't want to hear about it, but when a church is visibly, a city set on a hill, cannot be hidden, Matthew 5:14-16. And nations praise God for the city, and there's no denying that God is alive. When the expression of on earth as it is in heaven is currently in practice, no one can argue the selflessness of Christ-centeredness of the New Testament church was just a cultural thing and it doesn't apply to us. You can argue until you're blue in the face and that first century way of life will never work out today. But you can't dispute something that's already happening here and now. You can't argue with the facts, with what you've seen and heard, what your ears have heard, what your hands have touched. You can't argue with that. And God does want a demonstration, a model of what He can do in people so that no one can argue anymore. It's not just theories and ideas. There had to be, in Paul's heart, fear that maybe his testimony would be lost. Maybe that fear haunted Paul as he left the Ephesians, but he entrusted them to God, even though he knew wolves were coming from among their own number, even though he knew there would be challenges. He entrusted them to the sovereign God without doubting that he who began a good work in them would complete that good work. The gates of hell cannot prevail against anything that God is doing. Well, that does it for today. Just keep praying for all the brothers out here. They'll keep working even when I'm out in the States raising money for them out here. Just keep praying for them that God will continue to bring souls to Christ. I've truly never seen so many Muslims come to Christ as I've been seeing these last few months, weeks, days. Be praying, guys. God is doing something.